Let us pray. Holy and loving God, week in and week out, you touch us with grace and mercy as we hear your word that has been kept for us through the ages, sometimes even at the cost of life for those who have translated it into languages that we could understand. And now we pray that you will give us hearts and minds that not only understand it, but hear it and know it as the truth for us from you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Somerset Maugham, the English writer, once wrote a story about a janitor at St. Peter's Church in London. One day, the young vicar discovered that the janitor was illiterate and fired him. Jobless, the man invested his meager savings in a tiny tobacco shop, where he prospered. He bought another, he expanded, and he ended up with a chain of tobacco stores, which were worth several $100,000. One day, the man's banker said, "You've done well for an illiterate, but where would you be if you could read and write?" "Well," the man replied, "I'd be a janitor at St. Peter's Church in Neville Square." We often wonder why things happen the way they do. Whenever a natural disaster strikes, we ask ourselves, why? Why did this happen? Why did it happen to me? And when we can't come up with an answer, we often ascribe some kind of divine activity towards it, either positively or negatively. And I first realized humanity's propensity to do this when I was in seminary doing clinical pastoral education. I worked on the orthopedics ward of a local hospital. And I went in to visit this one older woman several times. She had fallen and broken her hip, and she was in a lot of pain. And she kept trying to understand why this happened. And the only thing that she could come up with was that it was God's will that this happened. It was the only thing that made sense for her. For whatever reason, she could not accept the idea that maybe she just fell, or someone left something in her way. Now, I don't know what circumstances led to her falling and breaking her hip. In our psalm today, you'll notice it was another psalm of ascent for the pilgrimage to Jerusalem. The psalmist ascribes Israel's victory in some battle to the Lord delivering them. If it hadn't have been for God, the enemy in their surprise attack would have chewed them up and swept over them like a flood. Perhaps the Hebrew soldiers were outnumbered, or because it was a surprise attack. Or perhaps they were outmaneuvered by the enemy. We don't know what happened, but defeat seemed imminent for the Hebrew army when something happened and the tide turned. Again, we don't know what it was. We don't know the circumstances behind this psalm, but it's obvious that the writer felt that if it hadn't have been for the help of God, all would have been lost. Now, looking at the psalm in this way, as if it was God who caused the victory, creates some dark questions that I think we need to consider, and some of which I've talked about before. Russell Rathbun, a Roman Catholic preacher, writes about these questions. "I find a darker and more interesting question implied by this psalm. If God is on our side, why did our enemies threaten us to begin with? A narrow escape? Why was there even a need to escape at all? If God is on our side, why doesn't God rebuff any trouble before it even starts? And then he goes on, he writes an even darker question. I believe deeply that God is with us and for us. But I also know that that does not mean victory for all people all the time. What does it mean to have God on our side when we are defeated and suffer? And those, I think, are two very important questions. Questions that we have to consider any time we talk about theodicy, which is the discussion of God and the problem of suffering. When we search for meaning and the purpose of things, often it's easy to lay it at God's feet. But to do that releases us from having to deal with the larger questions, such as, why did that particular event happen? Or, even harder to look at, what was my role in that event happening? And therefore, when we lay it at God's feet, we find it easy because it absolves us of any responsibility of having to deal with those questions. God's will. There's nothing I could have done about it. For the lady in the hospital bed, again, this is pure conjecture because I don't remember what it was that caused her to fall. But if we could kind of take some things from other visits that I've had with people and discussions over the years, she could have said, it's God's will, because then she doesn't have to think about getting rid of the dog that ran in front of her and caused her to trip. If she says it's God's will, then maybe she doesn't have to deal with that hard question of maybe it's time for me to move someplace else because I can't live by myself in my own home. It absolves her of having to think about those things. Now, if we think about this psalm in this way, does that mean that this psalm has nothing to say to us? No. I think it's got a lot to say to us. I'm sure there were many in the pilgrimage to Jerusalem who would have recited this psalm, along with others, who had difficult lives. Lives where everything wasn't going dandy. And yet they could still sing the words or say the words of this psalm with faith and conviction, especially that last line. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. The psalmist encourages people to find their help in God. Their help in the God who created all that is and all that ever will be. Now, whether you believe that God created everything as it's written about in the book of Genesis, or whether you believe that God created through evolution, the important thing is that the psalmist encourages us to experience God as one who is intimately involved in our lives. Intimately connected to our lives. John Vandeleur writes about this idea on his website, Sacredis. He says, life had been hard for them. But for faith in the goodness of God, they got through it. Our calling is to enable people in all circumstances and all walks of life to find God, to find heaven, as it were, in their daily reality. Whether it is freedom from poverty or substance abuse or domestic violence, whether it's healing of a relationship of mind or body, or the discovery of a new dignity, or new work opportunity, or a new home. In every community, the gates of hell, he says, are at work in people's lives. There is suffering, is what he's trying to say with that. And the pain and the destruction that results can easily be seen. But God gives people strength and hope to confront their daily struggles. And that's the message that we take from this psalm. Our role as Christians is not to absolve ourselves of responsibility, but to work to maintain our relationship to God. In good times and bad. And to enable others to experience the grace and the love of God while the waves of life are crashing in on them. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. So many times, in different ways, I have shared with people, God does not cause the waves to crash in. God is not a vengeful God. But God is there. God is there with patience, non-anxious wisdom and comfort that enables us to weather the storms of our lives so that we're not swept away by them. I like what C.S. Lewis once said when he was asked, "Why do the righteous suffer?" His response was, "Why not? They're the only ones who can take it." And while I don't think it's only the righteous who suffer, we can take it because we know that we're not alone. We can take it because we know that God has not abandoned us, that whatever is happening is not because God is mad at us. It's either because of a decision we made or a decision someone else made, or it's just the random circumstance of the time or the moment. And we can model that kind of faith and belief in others, or for others. That's the only way I think that we can truly speak of a God who blesses people when those people have been good and yet they suffer. I think it's the only way that we can speak to a mother of a dying child in Somalia. This isn't because God is mad at you. It's because of the ways of the world. It's the only way that we can speak to a child whose father and mother were killed by suicide bombers. God's not mad at you. It's the world. It's the only way that we can speak of the love of God to a family who've lost their home in a tornado. God didn't create this tornado. But God will stand with you and help you and enable you to get through it. When we have an intimate belief in the presence and grace of God, it will be much more difficult to say it is God's will. So if we want the faith that can say our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, then we need to develop that relationship. We need to have that intimate relationship. And the way we get it is through study, through prayer, spending time with God. And only then, when the waves crash and threaten to overwhelm our lives, will we be able to stand firm and declare that God is good. When our meaning and purpose is found in a relationship with God, then we will not feel like we're being chewed up by life. And we can say with faith and conviction, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Thanks be to God. Amen.